This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, Oketa, and welcome to Neat Footy, the number one platform that highlights our Pacifica talent across the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and with me is former NRL and Super League stalwart, my Cook Island Kiwi, Tinidao Arona. T, it's good to be back with you, mate.
Kia ora, Sammy, and kia ora to everyone listening to Neat Footy. Jesus, good to have you back, Sammy.
I swear that's my last trip done.
Are you recovered?
I got the man flu on the way back home after being in the heat, 42 degrees, and then coming back to this cold weather. But what a beautiful time there in the Marshall Islands. But as I said, I'm well-travelled. It's probably time to get back home and say hello to my wife and kids and let them know I'm still here.
Yeah, I heard you slept in the doghouse for a couple of nights as soon as you returned.
Because I was sick, not because I was in trouble.
Because you've been away, mate.
No, mate.
Anyway, let's move on for the rest of our show. We have a huge show here on Neat Footy. We will be covering the NRL news, all rugby league. We'll cover rugby union. We'll also catch up with Shelley Long and cover the women's footy in both union and league. But a huge guest on our show, one of those people that, you know, people probably take for granted or they're underestimated the impact that they have on our Neat athletes. You might see them when you're watching the game wearing a blue shirt or a yellow shirt. They're running out giving water to our athletes, and it is a strength and conditioning coach, head of performance. Is he head of performance?
Yeah, he was head of performance here for a long time.
With Manly, the Sea Eagles,
Bulldogs, Kiwis. He's done it before, yep.
And his name is Donnie Singe.
Donnie Singe, yes. I can't wait to talk to this man. He is about maybe a centimetre taller than a garden gnome. And he won't mind me saying that. But he has got the presence of an absolute giant. Like, he's the man, he's a tough man, and he's got a wealth of knowledge that we're going to learn a lot from.
Sweet as, looking forward to it. Let's rip into the show.
Moment of the week.
Well, Sammy, there's been a few moments since you've left me here on Neat Footy, but I want to share this moment with you and say thank you for coming back in good spirits. But I want to ask you about your experience. You know, where have you been the last week? What have you experienced? Tell us your stories, mate.
Yeah, Marshall Islands. I was over there for the Micronesia Games, the 10th Micronesia Games over there. What an interesting trip that one was. Like, it was, heading over, had to fly to Hawaii first and spend the night there, which was tough. On Waikiki beach.
It looked tough on your social media.
Mate, it was tough.
On the beach, mate.
And then flew 5 hours to Marshall Islands. But look, my moment of the week being over there. I got you something too, actually.
You got me something.
I got you a hat from the Micronesia Games.
Yes.
Would you like a yellow or blue?
I'll go the blue, blue trucker hat. Blue. Appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, that's all good. There's a yellow one for you.
I'll add this to the Drua hat that you got.
Yeah, there you go.
Fiji.
So I was always trying to bring you back a gift, but that's not my moment of the week. When I was over there, I went to like the little local gym. Think of the old school iron plates, rusted equipment. It was outstanding. I love being in those type of gyms.
Yeah, we had that gym in Wakefield for the Super League.
For your high performance, that was your center of excellence.
The little gym with the iron plates, iron, you know, dumbbells.
Really?
Yeah, mate. That's what made us tough. Picture that, freezing cold. Sure Marshall Islands are a lot warmer than Wakefield.
It was hot. But when I was in there, there was a kid training, a teenage kid, and while we were lifting weights, we had a blackout. And I was like, oh, man. So I was trying to find my phone to get the torch out. And then I was just yarning with this kid, and he asked me, he goes, how long have you been doing weights for or training? I was like, since a teenager, yeah. And I go, what about yourself? And he goes, I just started last week. I was like, why? He goes, because the games have been here. He's been inspired by the athletes there, you know, with the games being on his home soil and watching all of his fellow, you know, Marshallese athletes run around. And he goes, I want to do that one day. I was like, man, so 1 week, you just thought you were just coming to the gym. He goes, yeah, so just that's what I wanted to do.
Oh, cool. So no coach, no trainer with him. He just got himself into a gym, inspired from the games.
Yep.
And just wanted to go lift some 10 just and try some... and build that strength to one day potentially take part in these games.
In the games. So I was like, that me, it was a surreal moment, or it just made me sit back and think the importance of visibility and having, you know, these type of events, these games in our small Pacific countries, like hosting these games, because the crowd, the support, and what the ripple effect it has on the people in the community, it can be life changing. So I thought, for me, that's the moment of the week, making sure that we continue to improve resources and have those pathways in our tiny countries.
I knew there was a reason why I asked you, mate. You always come with the goods. I appreciate you for sharing that story, and yeah, very heartwarming story. So thanks, Sammy. Let's cover rugby league and rugby union news.
Hi, I'm Alicia Lefofago-Celia from the Australian Women's Sevens team, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Mate, a huge week of rugby league. We had the men's State of Origin last Wednesday. We had the women's decider on the Thursday, and then we had a round of NRL over the weekend. I want to start with a couple milestones. The first one is a kid, Samoan kid, that made his debut for the Penrith Panthers on the weekend. His name is Laron Patea. Now, the special thing about this one was after the game, he walks over to his family, about 50, you know, the whole family's there, extended family. We're talking
must have
uncles,
asked for
cousins,
all the tickets, eh?
Everyone's coming. And as he's walking towards his family, they sing their Samoan hymn, and then one by one, people are coming and giving the lolliers and putting it around his neck, and you can just see them pile up. But we've got a bit of audio here that is shared from the Penrith social media page. Well done, Patea. Congratulations to you and your family on your huge NRL debut, and I'm hoping that you play many, many years to come. Another milestone, Cronulla Sharks centre, Siosifa Talakai. He played his 100th NRL game. They did lose this game to the Bulldogs, but a huge achievement for the Tongan representative as well. So congratulations to Siosifa. And let's head straight into these NRL games. So I've got a couple for you. First is Dragons in the top 8 after a huge win over the Dolphins. The Red V winning this game 26-6. The Dragons, geez, they have some strong ball carriers. And off the back of them, you know, strong carries come offloads and line breaks. So the Dragons, they had 17 offloads to the Dolphins 8. And they had 6 more line breaks than the Dolphins. Tries to Tongan international Christian Tuipulotu and Samoan international Ray Faitala-Mariner.
Left-hand side, they go from the scrum. Here is Tuipulotu, who goes in to score. The Dragons break the deadlock again. This time, Christian Tuipulotu scores his first try as a Dragon. He'll play it dead centre, 10 metres out from the uprights. Hunt off again here to Faitala-Mariner. Goes the fan, falls with the footy. Is there a grounding? It's unconvincing, but the Dragons seem to reckon that's good enough for a try.
Both Christian and Ray, man, they made a huge impact this year for the Dragons, helping them, you know, make their way into the top 8. Christian coming from the Sea Eagles and Ray coming from the Bulldogs. But my player of the match in this one was Samoan and Queensland State of Origin player Jaden Sua. Now, only 4 days after representing Queensland, Jaden Sua had just 22 carries for 216 metres, more than any other player in this match. He had 107 post-contact metres. He made 8 tackle breaks, 3 offloads, and 1 try assist. A huge game for Jaden.
4 days post-origin.
4 days post-origin. Now, my next game, there's a saying: a week is a long time in rugby league.
Yes, it is.
And after getting embarrassed last week, losing to the Titans 66-6, the Warriors respond by beating the Broncos, last year's grand finalists, 32-16. Without their star, Sean Johnson, I thought, you know, their halves, Tamaida Martin and Chanel Harris-Tavita, they really took control of this game. The Samoan Harris Tavida scored two tries, both set up from Tomato Martin. And through pinpoint kicking, Martin also set up Roger Toivasa-Sheck and Dallin Watene-Zelezniak for a try each.
Dummy half goes right, Martin from 20 metres out. Cross field kick, up they go! Oh, Dallin Watene-Zelezniak flies through the air, gains 10,000 frequent flyer points and scores the try. The Warriors kick again. Egan plays it 18 out, or goes to dummy half, goes right, Walker to Martin, puts in a step kick, flying through is Roger! And Toivasa-Sheck clutches it to his chest and scores. What a brilliant kick by Tamati Martin. Great chase by Toivasa-Sheck.
Tomato Martin also scored a try himself. The Broncos, you know, they scored a few tries. The Samoan winger, Dean Mariner, he scored a double. And Cook Island international Xavier Willison, he scored a solid try as well underneath the post. But it was a night for the Warriors. Man, it just seemed like that stadium was rocking. It was vibing. They even had Australian Freddie Lussick score a try. As he gets up, boom, smashes the mana wave to the fans.
Did it go off? The fans?
They all just went off.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Warriors social media page too. They're absolutely killing it. Some good posts there using their their footage and then mixing it up with a bit of whether it's music, whether it's other. They had the Brotown. Remember Brotown, the movie?
Yeah. The series. Tana Umanga.
Yep.
Henry Farfilli.
So they had like a reunion and they showed them boys as well. So, and remember, you can hear every NRL game each week live on ABC Radio Australia. In the New South Wales jersey flag, the Kavuti Silktails, they played Manly. But unfortunately, they lost this one 48-8. This marks their 14th loss from 14 games. They'll be in Penrith facing the Panthers on Saturday. The Silktails, come on, brothers. Need to find that win, find that 2 points. But
I can't wait to hear when they do get that win. It's going to erupt.
Oh, mate.
We're going to erupt here in Asian footy when they get that win.
Parties, carver sessions.
Yeah, we're going to have everything in here.
But I'm pretty sure that they'll be learning some great lessons and growing from this experience. In the Queensland Cup, the PNG Hunters, they played the Ipswich Jets. Coming off fresh from their bye, the PNG Hunters secured the win on Ipswich territory with a 28-22 win against the Jets yesterday. Hopefully they can carry on with the win against the Turrbal Devils on Sunday. But yeah, that's it for rugby league. Let's move on to rugby union.
Wow, plenty going on in rugby league. I wish I could say the same for rugby union. Bit of a quiet week last weekend with Super Rugby finished and all the international teams using that week to travel and prepare for the upcoming test matches. But what did happen over the weekend was the Under-20s World Cup kicked off over in Cape Town, South Africa. I love these Junior World Cups. Like, honestly, it's top-notch in terms of the talent that's on display in the one place. And you get to see some future superstars, some household names being unearthed. When you look back on it, I think back in the day when I was playing, it used to be Under-19s and Under-21s World Cup. And then they changed it to Under-20s to meet in the middle. In 2006, yours truly was part of the last Australian side to win the World Cup. We beat New Zealand.
It's Under-20s World Cup tournament.
World Cup tournament.
How often?
Every year they have it.
Oh, every year.
Every year they have it. So it's an outstanding tournament that players get to experience. And we've seen, though, so in our era, like 2006 when we beat New Zealand, our 5'8 was Christian Liliuofano. We had Will Genya, Saint Anthony Faingaa. And then in 2008, we had Quade Cooper, Kirtley Bill, Peter Beetham, Nemani Nondolo, like all those players like played in this tournament. And you get to see, you know, test yourself against world-class straight away for your age group. And it's probably like the last time you actually play your own age. So that was on display over the weekend. And we saw Fiji play against South Africa. It was always going to be a tough game. South Africa playing on home soil. And it was a big ask. The Fijians, they got dominated in that game. They end up losing 57-7. The only Fijian to score was prop Anare Dangi. He scored a nice little try off the back of some good work on a chip and chase. But two standout players, or two names, as you know, Isaiah Armstrong-Ravula.
Yep.
He's still eligible, but obviously he didn't play because he's preparing for Georgia this week for the men's.
For the men's team.
But his younger brother played. He started at hooker. So very talented family. And the other name that played for the draw was Sikeli Rambitu. So he was the Super Rugby player that played for the Fijians. So they, yeah, had a disappointing loss, 57-7. They've got another tough job this week. They'll be coming up against England, but they're also in Pool C against Argentina as well. So hopefully we can see some improvement there from Fiji. Samoa also playing in the Under-20 World Trophy, which is the one underneath the World Cup, which also starts today over in Scotland. They're in a pool with Hong Kong, Scotland, and Japan. So the winner of that ends up going into the T1. The loser of T1 drops down to T2. So that's happening at the moment. Make sure you watch our future stars for Fiji, and there's plenty of Pacifica talent amongst all those teams. Some signing news, T. I've got some big ones for you. We recently had Sekope Kepu on the show. How long ago now?
About 6-7 weeks. And if you want to hear that episode, head over to wherever you get your podcast.
Yes, that's all. I was just threw it up there for
and
you.
And search Nijan Footy, of course.
Yes, I threw it up there for you to really smack that out of the park. You've done well there. So Sekope Kepu, he announced his retirement with Moana Pacifica only a few weeks ago, that he is off to join your cousin, Lima Sopawanga, over in Japan with the Shimizu Blue Sharks, not as a player, but as their scrum coach. So that's good news for him. He's going on his own. So I reached out to him just to see how he's going, leaving the family behind for a year, and he's going to go over to the land of the rising yen.
How good. He won't be doing much with Lima because Lima doesn't want to do anything with that scrum or tackling.
But some other signing news, we have Fijian Wallaby Filippo Dangunu. He has signed with the Reds, former club, after obviously the Rebels folding. Fun fact, T, Filippo Dangunu, I made my tackle on, he was my last attempted tackle, which ended my career, ruptured my bicep tackling him. So
I was about to say, don't tell me that was the last person you tackled at a professional level.
Yeah, it was Filippo Dangunu. So he's heading over to the Queensland Reds, which is going to be good for their back line. And with the upcoming tests for the Wallabies this week against Wales, they've already been dealt a blow. Samoan centre Len Ikitau has done his hamstring, so which is no good. And then Kirtley Beale ruptured his Achilles.
Really?
So obviously that's Kirtley Beale. His season is done. Hopefully Len Ikitau is not too far out. You know, it's only a minor one because they'll need him back because there's not too much depth there for the Wallabies. So hopefully he recovers fast and gets back into the fold. But I tell you, that's all I've got for you for Union.
I thought you said you didn't have much. There's a little bit there, but hopefully we'll get Shelley to cover a little bit more. So let's head over to Shelley Long for the long story short.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Yes, we are joined with our good friend Shelley Long, our PNG Orchid star, North Queensland Cowboy, NRLW player, and she is reporting live on a public holiday in Townsville.
Another one. How many do they need up there?
Oh, you guys are just jealous. You know, Queensland, they love their public holidays. Free day off. You guys, you hardly see those things.
Oh,
you did share a quick story on what the public holiday meant, you know, something about a show and each town gets their own public holiday. It just seems like
it
Queensland run their own race.
Yeah.
So I'm happy for you, Shelley, though. Rest up. Has anything happened in the last week of your preseason?
We actually had a session where we had to meet on Saturday at the Strand. So that's like, it's pretty close to Castle Hill. So we were like thinking in our heads, hey, maybe we're running Castle Hill. And lately the coaches have been telling us, you know, you be ready, bring your joggers, you're going to run up the hill. So we get there and no one's there. They told us be there at 8:30. We get there, no one's there. We're all standing around. We're all nervous and anxious. And then me being me, I sent my friend a message being like, hey, guys, you guys have to do 50 burpees and then be ready to run up Castle Hill. And she changed the name to our S&C coach and then going around and showed everyone as a like joke. Anyways, everyone was like, what? No way. Then one of the, a few of the staff started to roll in. They're like, come on, girls, time to stretch. Let's get ready. They're like, you're going to actually do a time trial, a 5K time trial on the Strand. And we were like, oh, I mean, that's not the hill, but like, good. And then we start running and they're like, you have to run from to the, we started halfway. You had to run to the other end, then run all the way to the other end, then come back to halfway. And then we start running and then we see our coach and he's standing like 100 meters up the track. And he's like, nah, joking, girls, we're just going for breakfast.
Yes.
Oh, how good is that?
Who would have thought? First of all, that you're a prankster. I love that prank. You know, send a
nerves send already a text, yeah, flooding,
and all your teammates just sweating bullets. And then there's nothing better than a surprise session. You're thinking you're about to get, you know, get a flogging, running up Castle Hill or running a 5K time trial, and then the coach takes you out for breakfast. How bloody good!
Well, and the best thing was that it was like, hey, was being serious that he was taking us to breakfast, and the girls were like, nah, I don't like breakfast. I don't eat breakfast. Like, what are we actually doing? Be for real. And then we walked across and they like had the breakfast area set up for us and they shouted us breakfast. But I feel like the best thing about our preseason is it's put us a little bit on edge. The trust issues have started to show.
That's where they want you to live, on that knife's edge, just keeping you guessing, not getting comfortable, just ready to pivot when you need to. So I love that about your coach, what he's done there. And he's buddied you up with some good breakfast to get flogged on your day off tonight. So that's what's going to happen.
I feel like they really love seeing what we're made of sometimes.
It's, what do you call it again? Readiness season. Great that's work. It.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. Well, let's move on straight into State of Origin. Played up at Townsville last Thursday night, the women's State of Origin. Game 3, the first ever decider in the women's State of Origin. I seen you were at the game. Talk us through it, the atmosphere, what was the vibe like? And I even seen you down on the field as well.
Oh, it was a crazy night. And finally, after years of discussions, we were able to witness the first ever three-game series in the heart of Townsville. I think that's the best thing about it. It was played here in Townsville. But with an overall attendance of just over 73,000 people, that kind of just goes to show how much support there is in the Women's Rugby League. But I actually got to be in front of the field. It was pretty lucky. T, my partner, she had a event and I got to go as a plus one. So she did a little bit of talking. We got to go down to where the girls ran out. And I can tell you now the crowd was crazy. They loved Queensland. Queensland showed their appreciation for their love and support of their state and clinched the series in that game at home.
Yeah, I've got a couple of thoughts about that one. Now that I think about it, game one was played in Brisbane, Queensland. Game 2, Newcastle, New South Wales. Game 3, I'm pretty sure it's still in Queensland. So how does that work out?
Well, I think, T, if you're going off of that, if it was in Newcastle for game 2, how come New South Wales didn't win that game?
Ooh.
Yeah, I was like, where are you going with this, T?
No, they got 2-1.
Yeah, I know, but...
Well, the men's, they had it in Melbourne, neutral grounds.
Back in the day, they used to do the same thing where Sydney would host 2 and then the following year you'd go Brisbane 2.
Remember, this
two.
Is the first ever. So it has to be, well, mate, New South Wales hopefully gets 2
New South Wales
runs.
Had the opportunity to level the series.
You weren't saying this to Tiana this morning.
Nah,
on that
I didn't ask her any. I didn't ask her. I didn't ask her any questions. I stayed clear.
I seen when you asked her.
I was like, oh, nah, sweet, all good.
So Sammy was on that Pacific Sports show this morning and he even said, so, Tiana, have you had a thought, like, had a good thing about where it went wrong? And then she just said, nah.
Nah.
Just shut him down and he goes, okay, move
oh,
on.
Oh, yeah, sweet. And coming up in rugby union.
But, Shelley, what moment stood out for you in this game?
Oh, it was definitely, I think, a player, not a moment, but Avania Polite. She was on fire. She was incredible. 10 runs for 135 metres, 59 post-contact metres, 5 tackle breaks and a try. That's incredible stats for a game at this level. So State of Origin, you know, it's a tough grind. We all know and recognize it as that. And for her to get a stat, like stats like that, that's incredible.
Yeah, it does. It's no coincidence she came on the show the week before and then comes out and kills it. We have that effect on our show.
You know what? I was actually watching this game and I said, geez, we've had some stars on Nijan Footy. Not to promote our show, but like Yasmin Clydesdale, Sala Tonga Tuki, who's on every Friday. Geez, there's some great, great players that have been here. So grateful to be on the show and share this platform with all our athletes.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you guys, you must have said something to her before that game because I reckon she flicked a switch. But it was tough conditions, tough weather conditions for New South Wales. And unfortunately, they weren't able to do what they normally do, which is play really good footy. And in those wet conditions, I think they weren't prepared for it. On Tuesday, it was actually sunny. I did get down to see them do some training. They were doing a lot of long shifts, which they tried to execute in the game. But just with the weather, long shifts aren't really a thing. And, you know, you've got to win the middle, which is something Queensland's really well known for.
Did they try and do anything different from game one? Or was it pretty much that game one game plan trying to be executed twice in like really tough conditions?
I don't think they changed too much about their game plan based on what I'd seen, but I think the conditions just threw out that style of footy and I think they weren't able to adjust well with that. But as well, it was a lot of one-out carry, so I think their shape was suited for longer shifts as well, and that was something that they couldn't play. So their carries became one-out carries through the middle, which is quite easy to defend, and Queensland read that really well. But as well as that, it was just their error rate, I think, that really impacted them.
Yeah, I feel like Queensland have some strong power runners, which suited, you know, them conditions, the wet conditions, where New South Wales a bit more, you know, agile, use that speed, get the ball out, find space. And, you know, when it's wet, it's hard to move that ball. So,
oh, 100%. And I think when you're chasing points, the pressure's on. And when pressure's applied, it's very hard to keep a well-run system. And that's when you do see errors come in because people begin to overthink, you know, a little bit about their role or a little bit about some things that they don't need to think about. So, yeah, tough one, but very happy for Queensland and excited that the series is being brought back home.
Yeah, I'm. You know, huge congratulations to all the women that played a role in this series. I know it was a great one, and I'm really looking forward to next year's three-game series as well. So, well done. Moving on to rugby league news. Shelley, what do you got for us in the women's space?
Ronald Griffins has signed a three-year deal with the Warriors. This is exciting news. He is the previous Newcastle Knights coach, a premiership winner, multiple premiership winner with the Newcastle Knights. So for the Warriors, I think that will be exciting news for them, but also exciting news for the women back in New Zealand. He's great with building those relationships and that connection and also keeping those people within that area staying there. So I do think there'll be quite a bit of movement, actually, with him now signing at the Warriors. Might take a lot of people back home like we were expecting.
When do they come in?
Next year.
Next year. Okay.
With the Bulldogs.
With the Bulldogs, okay. Yeah. Yep.
And just to be clear to all our listeners, that was the Warriors NRLW coach. I've just seen some of the comments, because it was announced today, some of the comments were like, oh, I thought that was the men's coach, Webby. Said, no. It's the women's coach. So they're heading in the right direction. They've got a great head coach. He's won back-to-back premierships with Newcastle Knights. And, you know, he'll go and do some great things for the New Zealand Warriors NRLW team.
Yeah, definitely. I think maybe there's the potential for some of those girls at Newcastle Knights who are based in New Zealand to go back home. So we'll keep an eye on those signings and definitely report them when they happen.
Is that a little inside scoop? Or I know Nita Maynard, she's not going anywhere. She's based in Sydney, the hooker for Newcastle Knights.
Do you know that for sure? It's funny world rugby league. Anything can happen.
Well, she works with me in the RLPA. So
go get the inside word now. Let's go.
Yeah. What else do you got for us, Shelley?
That's it in the rugby league space, but we do have some union discussions to talk about.
Yes, let's go. Get it out there.
Oh, geez, please give us something because he barely had anything during our news for the men's rugby union.
Well,
come on, give me something, Shelley.
Better than that. So the Wallaroos have announced their 30-player squad ahead of the July Test Series, which kicks off July 6th, so this Saturday against Fijian. The squad consists of several new inclusions, one of which is proud Fijian and Western Force flanker Tamika Jones. Little backstory about Tamika. In 2013, she actually sustained a tibia and fibula break, which required surgery. And 7 months after the surgery, they discovered a complication. So a screw had been nailed into the tendon, and this unfortunately ruled her out for last year's season. Her comeback this year has been incredible to watch, and I'm super excited to hopefully see her in the green and gold. So that's someone to definitely keep an eye out for. In saying that, in preparation for the July test, which does kick off, like I said, Saturday 6, the Wallaroos have entered into camp in Canberra, and over the weekend they had an inter-squad match. So they got to break up, do 15 aside and verse each other. This match, they've said, is super important because it allows them to prepare and play at test match level. So that's exciting for them and something that they haven't really done prior to, but it will be a great lead up for this test series.
Yeah, that they need that contact fitness, you know, preparing for, you know, the conditions that's going to happen on the weekend, because, you know, when they played in that series just gone where they got relegated to that, WX2, mm-hmm. You know, that contact area, that's a place where they feel well short. And so they need to, you know, continue those reps, put it into practice against Fiji so they can build some more momentum to be able to get back into that WX1 at some point. But it's good news for the Wallaroos that they're training hard.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we all know how important a 1 week sort of camp prior to the lead up of a game is. I think definitely their combinations will also hopefully get better with having that time together and being able to play something like an inter-squad match. But that's everything from me in rugby union and rugby league news today, guys.
Awesome. No, thank you very much, Shelley, for your time, especially today on your show, public holiday up in Townsville. Go and enjoy the rest of your day before you head into training, and we will see you next week on Nijin Footy.
Hi, I'm Palau Fanga, and you are listening to Nijin Footy.
Today we are very lucky to have Donny St John, Nijin Footy. He has been in the strength and conditioning and high performance space for, I think, over 35 years, T.
One of the OGs.
He's worked with the teams like Manly Seagulls during their successful grand final victories, as well as the Bulldogs. But I think apparently his most notable achievement is being the trainer to not one, but two of league's sexiest men winners. So welcome to the show, Donny Singe. How are you, brother? Good to have you.
That's your Twitter bio. Thank you very much. That's the best intro I've heard. I want that intro anywhere I go.
Anywhere you go, I'll record it. I'll send it to you. Make sure you play it everywhere you go.
Wait, I want to know who these two sexiest men are.
I'll tell you who it was. One was Brett Stewart.
Oh yeah,
and the other one was, of course, Matty Ballon, disgustingly handsome and sexy.
And he's the he's Origin coach now. He's the one that took over Cam Smith.
Yeah, he's with the Broncos, and yes, with on that Origin staff. Yeah.
Oh, that's outstanding. You know that you've been a part of those two great awards, and one of the big reasons why we wanted to have you on to chat things about footy is just how do you prepare young athletes for the big stage? You know, you've seen some of the best come through. You've seen some of the best that didn't eventuate to where the hype was. So we just want to get straight into it. Like, in your opinion, being in the high performance space, especially coaching, you know, Pacifica talent, you know, what's that journey been like for yourself?
I have had and still am experiencing the most tremendous journey through coaching and through well-being coaching. Yeah, you got to remember when I started, man, I had guys like Andrew Walker, Solomon Amono, you know, Kylie Lulai, Hopper, Jared, Mario Hargraves, and that, you know, and then it would turn into Kaidi and Joe Nullivale and Stevie Maddai. So I was always surrounded by just great, great DNA Polynesian stock, you know. Nowadays, I've got, you know, Homole, Fika, Tolu. And, you know, and I was really fortunate to work with not only, obviously, the Kiwis, you know, but the Cook Islanders and the Samoans, as you said. And the biggest thing that I have learned with my time with Polynesian athletes is that everything I need to wreak destruction upon the field is there. It already exists. Now what I've got to do is build programs and training that have an understandable relevance to that player, Polynesian player, the relevance of what he's doing today or she's doing today and what is the demand of the competition. And I think that's how I like to think that I was able to do well in those areas, not only because I'm a New Zealand Māori myself, but was definitely being aware of that. And I might add, there are some very good trainers out there right now, as we see right across the board in the NRL, who are, of course, getting the very best out of Polynesian players as they go. But for me, the relevance of what you're doing here today was my main big stick that I waved.
Speaking of our Nijin athletes, was there any certain skills or techniques that you used to connect with those Nijin athletes? And, I know a lot of these athletes that come through the ranks, they're sometimes a bit more quiet, or, they have that respect where you walk into a room and if there's elders there, they put their head down and not say much. Were there any certain techniques or skills that you used to connect to these players?
Look, definitely. One of the things you have to do with any athlete or anybody that you're looking at for performance is to have strategies where they can acknowledge and recognize within themselves who they are and what they bring. Yeah. And of course, Polynesians are very humble, quite self-aware people in that present space. And on top of that, what I might quickly add is that, with Polynesians and how they present themselves, there's a reason that our culture has a hierarchy and an education process, definitely a process of keeping each other within certain boundaries of behavior. And quite simply, it's that Polynesians are big people. And I believe that if we didn't have that type of structure, the whole village would be constantly run by the most biggest and powerful. And there's lots of big, powerful Polynesians. So there's a very certain reason to the way that we have raised each other and our youth as we've come through in villages, and it's served its purpose. Now they belong to this village of excellence where we have to bring that out of them. So turning up every day and giving Polynesians lots of feedback, because the thing is that they're okay with being quiet. They're okay with being quiet achievers. They're okay with feeling the run of things sometimes and just waiting for an outcome to occur. And I certainly don't mean that in a derogatory or a low self-esteem way. It's just who we are. However, now we really work on those most really solid performance units. And when I say performance, I talk about the whole entire organization, not just the physical side. They know the importance, or they recognize the importance, or if they don't, listen to me now and I'm giving you that feedback. They do want to be spoken to. They do want to be included. If they don't answer straight away, it's not that they don't know or they're not interested. They're thinking. So feedback is the greatest tool that I have learned to get the best out of the Polynesian players.
Yeah, so that scaffolding and that you, for coaches, delivering that feedback, is there a way you need to deliver that feedback? Because as T mentioned, sometimes if you're delivering that feedback face-to-face and they're not eyeballing you, they're looking at their feet, and if someone who is not really equipped with that, they think, mate, this guy's not interested. Like, what are some of the strategies around the feedback that you've delivered that's worked in for you? Hasn't worked for you?
Yeah, look, the coaches I've worked with, very good at ensuring that the environment that they're talking to their player, that's a nice, safe, open environment. So you're not jamming them between two data screens and a desk, and they're not on one side of the desk or the table and you're on the other. The best feedback, and the way that I've seen a lot of the coaches that I know get great results out of these players, is the way that they design their environment to give feedback. So that could include standing, having a space, closing that space a little bit, but not encroaching, offering even seated positions, not placing themselves above, making sure that they're at an equal standing so that the player immediately doesn't feel like it's a defensive position. So that's something that really helps, is thinking about, I'm going to have a conversation, and all conversations are good. If you think about it, the only time a coach is going to call you in is to make you better at something. If there's an issue with the eye contact, it's quite simply a case of politely saying, you know, yeah, I've done it. I've done it with Homole. I've done it with my players, you know, so yeah, mate, while I'm talking to you, yeah, give us your eyes. Because when we give an instruction on the field, when we go through a tactical play, when we go through a gym instruction, we're always about, hey, eyes on, and that's just it, because that's unthreatening. But when we come to sit down and give feedback, when we come down to debrief or go over a certain particular, how you position yourself in that room and where you stand allows that player to put eyes on you and engage you without the feeling of having to feel like they're below or it's a negative message and look down at the ground. So the environment's very big.
Yeah, I love that message of creating that environment. It reminds me of, you know, entering a marae or a meeting house and, you know, everyone, yeah. It's that circle space where everyone's having that conversation and that discussion where it's a round circle, not a direct, you know, I'm on this side of the table, you're on that side of the table.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. One thing I've noticed over the last few years is our Nijan players really expressing their culture and clubs creating that safe environment where they can be themselves and they can bring their cultures within club environment. Has there been a big change from when you first started to where the game's at right now?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the NRL in particular, I'm not sure about the rugby, but I'm sure they do. But the NRL in particular has a very strong Pacifica Council approach. They've got a lot of information coming in. A lot of their programs have specific areas where Pacific Island culture and belief and disciplines are incorporated, whether it be from a religious structure or from the islands themselves and how they carry their culture. One of the things that I really see with that cultural aspect is having a nice blend of this is your culture, we recognize that, this is your strength, this is who you are. Once we peel everything away or once something, adversity or anything, you know, and we strip you right down to a point where you have bare bones to stand on, we know that's what's going to be holding you up. And at the same time, I really believe that Des was very good with this, he was able to say, but over here on this side, this is another life culture. And if you want to succeed and provide for your families, build your cultures, acknowledge, recognize, keep that strength, then you have to respect this football culture. And this one, this culture over here, this one's just about turning up, getting training, getting educated, going through tactical aspects and learning how the game's played, and then using all those fantastic cultural and physical benefits and DNA that you have, blending them and then applying them on the field. But in terms of that culture and being recognized and feeling strong and powerful, worthy, yeah, I really believe the NRL is working very, very hard in that area to ensure that that inclusion is occurring.
Yeah, you're right in that balance. You just reminded me of a few players that I remember playing and watching playing for Manly. You had, you know, Steve Maddie, George Taufua, Will Hopewadi, but they expressed their culture, but they also were very, very professional. And you could see that on the field, you know, they were well-drilled, well-coached, well-trained. In saying that, are you a strong believer in, you know, when coaches, have you seen coaches pick the players or the athletes that are doing all the right things but might not be the best, like might not be the most talented player in the squad?
Yeah, look, of course I am. Because the other thing that you get with players like that is you get consistency. And the reality is when we look at games and we look at teams and we look right across the board, there are more consistent toilers than the mighty stars. And I think that, you know, I think that a coach Wooden said it the best, you know. He said, you know, talent will get you to the top, but character will keep you there. And I think that if you have disciplined, you know, players with good character, then you know that what you're going to get on the day on the field. I would happily support players who weren't as perhaps known for their flair and that little one percenter, you know, to have an opportunity to play that game. They can grow. They can always grow.
That's a quick message to my sons that will be listening to this shortly. Discipline with good character, that's what we're aiming for.
Mate, even just that other point you just said around there's more toilers in the game than there is superstars, and you're 100%. We hear all the time, probably can count on two hands, the consistent names that we constantly hear, but without the crafters, without the guys, the effort area players, they're not shining. Their team's not successful. So it's a really beautiful way you put that. And just so I want to, we don't have too much longer left, but opinion, your expert opinion, what would your best advice be to a young 14 to say 18-year-old with the best talent or the freakish talent, natural talent? What do they need to be doing so that when everyone catches up, they're still ahead of the curve?
What they need to be doing is to be physically competent. So they need to see everybody, people will catch up. And the only thing, the difference between them and the person coming up will be the frequency of brilliance that they can deliver. And the only thing that will keep you back from consistently and frequently producing those fantastic efforts will be your physical fitness. So you have to always stay on top. You have to always stay on top. Yeah, like, so for young Polynesians right across the board now, even the guys that I'm still training now, body weight, body weight, body weight. I cane them. I drill them. Push-ups, burpees, dips, chin-ups. Because once you master that, nothing can hurt you. Nothing will scare you. But when a preseason comes and you know I'm going to bend you into the ground, I'm going to make you get up and run, get up and down off the ground. Man, if you're not used to moving your body weight, that's a whole lot of pain. It's a whole lot of hurt. And you're so worried about that, you can't focus on the skill side of your game. You can't focus on the tactical because you're always out of breath. You're always thinking, oh, he's going to hurt me with something. Nah. So for all the young athletes out there coming through, master your body weight. Because if you can throw your body around, no one can hurt you. I promise you. No one can hurt you.
So those body weight exercises you're talking about, getting used to lifting your own body weight around. Just on that. So would you rate that above kids doing like gym weights? Because you see I feel like there's a lot more kids in the gym earlier trying to lift big weights.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. Man, I'll take him in the gym. And everyone, these boys are picking up stuff. They Polynesians are naturally strong. Hey, newsflash. But power and speed and velocity, you got to train that. But you cannot train that if you're bulky and your strength doesn't have any speed element to it. So when you get on your body weight and you're doing accelerations and you're getting up and down, these are the things your aerobics building, your anaerobics building, your muscular endurance is building. You're building the strongest foundation and staying away, keeping good injury prevention. You know, if you just want to go to the gym and use external stimulus and then push your joints and your muscles to the extreme, but internally you haven't been doing the work, you know, getting your body strong. Well, mate, you're going to hit a few barriers on the way through. Get your body weight sorted out. Get your running and your acceleration in particular sorted out. It's going to be happy days through the rest of the trip.
Man, that's great advice.
Mate. That's gold. I've got four quick fire questions to wrap up for myself. And let's kick off. So first of all, best Nijan athlete you have ever trained?
That I've ever trained, I'm going to give it to Stevie Maddie.
Who are you proud to say you helped grow or flourish as a footy player?
Oh, wow. Right now, because he's fresh in my head and he just made Origin, Tamale. Yeah. And I want to tell you just very quickly before I go, I asked Tamale, what changed, man? You've come back, everything's so much better. And he said to me, oh, I worked with Dad. And Dad's a cementer, you know. I worked with Dad. And I said to him, oh, so now you know what that hard work is. And he said, no, now I know what Dad's been doing all these years for me. And that meant so, and man, I get emotional thinking about that. And then look where he is. So Hamole, I'll proudly say I'm really proud to be part of his journey.
Your favorite moment as a trainer?
probably my first Kiwi test. Steve Kearney brought me in for the Kiwis. It was a really proud moment. My haka was the worst they've ever seen. hey, Benji didn't miss me. I'll tell you that right now. Benji didn't miss me.
Last question. What's your favorite drill?
Oh, look, nothing beats Malcolm's, right, with a 50-meter exit into a wrestle. Nothing beats that.
Malcolm's into a 50-meter exit into a one-on-one
wrestle. Yeah, yeah. So what you do is you got to get your three Malcolms, right, and under around 36 seconds, right, bang, bang, bang. And then when you get up, you got to sprint. You got to sprint 50 meters. And then there's another big man waiting for you there with a ball, and you got to wrestle. And then you got a 90 second turnaround after that to get back down to where you came from. you rock and rolling again. Yeah.
Just look at you, you just really being like, your eyes lighting up, just being all cruel and carrying on. Yeah. Jeez, I dislike you right now when you explain that.
I love that. I'll tell you what.
Donnie, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, sharing some stories, some really, really handy advice there for young players, for coaches, for current players, for everyone across the board, especially our Nijan talent. So we want to thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it, and we wish you all the best on wherever your strength and conditioning takes you to. Hopefully away from me.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome, and it's an honour to be with you boys today. Thank you for inviting me.
Nijan Knowledge.
Jeez, how good's a chat with Donnie?
I learned so much from that chat.
100%. And you just lift in energy when you speak to him too, just the way that that energy he has about him. Let's get moving to Nijan Knowledge. Let's wrap it up, Sammy. Last week, Toops, he got your point.
Did he?
On Nijan Knowledge, yes. He got the one I asked who was sitting, I think it was eighth place on the table, NRL ladder, got it straight away. It was Cowboys at the time, I believe. But if you're new to the show, this is Nijan Knowledge, where we ask each other three questions each week and we keep a score. At the end of the season, the loser has to get a Nijan footy tattoo on their bum. And the score is 9 to you. I'm on 7.5. I need to make a catch up. So,
Sammy, this could be the day. This could be the day you catch up, son. And... No.
It's like you want the tattoo, eh? Do you want...
I sort of do for some reason. Like, you can feel it, eh?
I feel like you want it, but then if I get it, you're going to get it anyway. And if you get it, I'm probably going to as well. So...
Oh, you can... Can you read my mind? I was just thinking that just now. I was like, I'm going to get it anyway. That's how much this show means to me. But hey, all three points are related to this one question. Okay? There's three parts to it.
All right, sweet. Help me with it.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
All right, let's go. Super Rugby Grand Final, it finished last week. Samoan Blues winger, Caleb Clark. He scored a hat-trick in that game. All right. There's only one other player that has done this in Super Rugby history. First part to the question. Is this player A, Tongan, B, Fijian, or C, Samoan?
I'm going to go A, Tongan.
You locking it in?
Log it in.
Correct.
Okay, we got 1 point. I'm hoping this is the guy that I'm thinking of. It could be wrong.
Oh, you could be right. He could be all
Jonah,
three.
Jonah Lomu, is he Tongan?
He's Tongan. Let's go. Okay. Who was this player playing for when he scored these three tries? Is it A, the Waratahs, B, the Reds, or C, the Brumbies?
I don't even have the player now. Oh, no.
Jonah Lomu did not play for any of three of those.
I actually thought it was Doug Howlett.
Really?
That was my guess.
Okay.
And Doug, if you're not Tongan, I apologize.
No, he's Tongan. He is Tongan.
Okay. I'm going with the Brumbies. They make a lot of grand finals.
So the Waratahs.
No, I'm going Tars. I'm going Tars.
You're going to go with Tars?
I'm going Tars.
Should have stuck with the Brumbies.
Should have stuck with the Brumbies. All right. We'll narrow it down.
Last question. Who was this player? Was it A, George Smith, B, Mark Gerrard, or C, Radiki Samu?
I'm only going the first one, George Smith, because he's Tongan. I'm pretty sure he's Tongan. He plays for the Brumbies. So, George Smith.
That is wrong. It was Mark Gerrard.
Was it?
Yes. Mark Gerrard, the winger, Tongan Australian winger.
Oh, my days. Wow.
Was the last person to score a hat-trick in a Super Rugby Grand Final.
Oh, well, I'm happy I got 1 point. We're on...
I thought you were going to get all three there. I honestly thought you were going to get all three.
Oh, well.
I wanted you to get all three so I could get the tattoo. All right, that's our time up for Nijan Footy. But remember, you can catch up on all our chats wherever you get your podcast. Laters. Yep.
Ka kite, and we'll see you on Nijan Footy Fridays. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.